Welcome to Therapeutic Intentions Podcast. My name is Stephanie Dingbaum. I am a mental health therapist, and I am so passionate about all things health and wellness, personal development, and empowering others to be their most authentic and best versions of themselves. Here at Therapeutic Intentions, we are all about having intentional and authentic conversations on whole body health, healing practices, mindset, and ways to uplevel your life so you can truly be the best version of you. If you are a woman, a mom, hope to someday be a mom, a healer, or just in a place where you want to start prioritizing yourself and your health, then this podcast is for you. I am so glad you're here. If you're ready, let's get to it. Welcome back, everybody, to part two of my fertility journey stories. If you're listening in and you didn't listen to the previous episode, I highly recommend going back or you're going to feel a little lost because I'm literally picking up right where I left off in that journey. But I also, before we get into it, want to tell you, I said this in the previous one because I recorded both episodes back to back. Currently, we are getting some thunderstorms. It's Saturday night. We've been getting just thunderstorm after thunderstorm this afternoon and into the evening. And so if you hear thunder or anything, just don't be concerned. That's what it is. All is good. It's not supposed to get too severe. So I just want to be completely honest about that. So if you were to hear it, if the mic were to pick up on it, you know what's going on. Also, before I really get back into my story, I want to share again a little trigger warning. I am sharing my personal fertility journey. And again, this does include some sensitive topics on that matter. So if any discussions about infertility and related topics of that bother you or maybe are sensitive for you or distressing for you, please, please just take care of yourself. And if that means you have to skip this episode, that's okay. Consider skipping it. It's okay. What matters most is that you're taking care of yourself. I don't want you to listen if it's going to cause you any kind of distress. Please just know that what comes first when listening to this podcast, really any podcast, is you take care of yourself and it's okay to stop and not return to it. I ended the previous episode talking about the entire fertility journey, literally from year one to where we're at now. Well, actually, I stopped before that, but I literally just want to pick up where I left off. So I know I had shared that I was working with Megan, who was a nurse midwife that I had found out of Dubuque, Iowa. So Megan had shared with me that she was taking a sabbatical, didn't know how long it was going to be for, just knew that she needed some time off from her practice. And like I said, at the end of the previous episode, this meant I had to find a new practitioner to work with. So after doing a ton of research, I had decided to work with a practitioner who is located at the health spa. For those of you that are local, you're probably aware of the health spa. So it is a integrative and holistic place located in Piasta, Iowa. And they have a variety of integrative and holistic health practices all under one roof. It is literally an amazing place. Highly, highly recommend going there if you haven't. So the practitioner that I'm working with is out of the health spa. And I actually heard about the health spa because the owner of the health spa, Stephanie Grutz, I met her at a female entrepreneur group that I am a part of that meets once a month. She was at one of the recent meetups that we had and was talking about some programs that she's putting into place at the health spa. And it had kind of gotten me thinking, like, well, maybe I should consider going there because it's not that far of a drive from where I live and it's convenient and it meets my needs as far as integrative health goes. And So I was seriously considering that. I actually reached out to Stephanie after that event or after that meetup and told her I was considering this and kind of gave her a short and sweet spiel of my journey and told her I was considering actually applying for one of her programs for it was, I can't remember the name of it, but pretty much what it is helping you to regulate your hormones naturally. And I asked her if she thought that program would be a good fit for me. And she, which I so appreciate her honesty, she actually was like, oh, actually, no. And I don't turn people away from that program very often. But I think what would be a better fit for you in your journey would be to work with Maggie at the clinic. And so I called the health spa the next day, set up an appointment with Maggie. Went in to meet with her about, I don't know, 3 weeks later, did our like initial consultation or intake, whatever you want to call it. And so we then scheduled a follow-up where I was going to get a bunch of labs done. It had to be on a certain day of my cycle. Did a whole slew of labs. I'm so grateful that she did as many as she did because that's what I like. We're going to get more answers that way. And side note, I know I mentioned Stephanie Grutz. If you don't follow Stephanie Grutz on Instagram, highly recommend it. I'll put her page in my show notes. But you guys, she is an amazing entrepreneur. And personally, I consider her to be an expert in the integrative and holistic health world. Also, I don't know why, but like I put her on this pedestal. Like in my mind, she's like a celebrity. And so, highly recommend following her. She knows her shit, truly. She is amazing. Also, her starting the health spa is just an amazing thing for Delaware and Dubuque County. I just think how lucky I am to have a place like that, literally within a half hour from where I live. So amazing. So, where I'm at now is I have a follow-up appointment with Maggie here in a couple weeks to go over all of my lab work. So, that's kind of where I end things right now with all of that. But on the other side of things, my husband and I decided about a year ago to pursue the adoption process. And we heard, I think, 2, maybe 3 months ago. So when we started the process, we have two wait lists and we're working through Hillcrest Family Services. So they had two wait lists. Wait list one is because there's an overflow from wait list two, is what it comes down to. So we were put on wait list one until a spot opened up on waitlist two. And we actually found out, like I said, I don't know if it's 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we found out that we got bumped from waitlist one to waitlist two, which is a good thing. And this now means we get to start like the home study process. And there will be a future episode talking more about the adoption process, but we're like moving and grooving on that, which is super exciting. We actually have a meeting in 2 weeks to go down to the agency and meet with the adoption specialist. And then from there, we are going to be setting up our home study, which is where the social worker comes to our house and interviews us. I'm just so excited. It's so exciting to see things moving and grooving as we're going through things. But I do want to say, even though we're pursuing adoption, this does not mean that we're throwing the towel in with trying naturally. We absolutely are not throwing the towel in. We're just pursuing both at the same time because I know that the adoption process can sometimes take up to 4 years. That's what their websites all say. So I just thought, let's not waste time. Let's just do both at the same time. I'm not ready to throw in the towel. The trying naturally, I mean, I firmly believe that my body is capable of experiencing pregnancy. I don't think that desire would be as heavy on my heart if I wasn't capable. So, not willing to throw the towel in. It's just not in the cards at this time. But yeah, so that's truly now where we're at in the journey today. Not pregnant yet, but I really emphasize the word yet because it's happening, you guys. It is going to happen. I feel it in the deepest part of my heart. I feel it. And I know it's going to come for us that we're going to be parents here soon, whether it be through adoption or having a pregnancy of our own. I know it's going to happen for us, and I'm so excited for when that day will come. But what I want to spend a majority of this episode talking to you about is all the lessons that I learned throughout this journey, because guys, there's a lot of them. A lot. As I was typing out some notes and some bullet points of what I want to make sure to mention, I was looking over them before I started, before I hit record, and I was like, hopefully this episode doesn't get too lengthy. But it's important that you know these lessons, because I know there are listeners out there going through their own fertility journey, and I want you to know you're not alone, but I also want you to know what I've gained from my journey, because I truly feel you can use these lessons in your own journey. So I apologize if this is a lengthier episode, but I promise it will be worth it. Honestly, I don't even know where to begin. There's so many lessons I have listed here, and I probably will miss some, but that's okay. The great thing about this being my podcast is I can literally do another episode down the road of other lessons that I've learned. So if this isn't the extensive list, all is good. And I also want to say that one of the first lessons that came out of this whole journey is that I really was disappointed in how the Western medicine world handled the fertility journey for us. There was no major toxic experiences. It's more looking back and seeing the comparison between the integrative health world and the Western medicine health world. It's just disappointing in the lack of control, I feel. And I know, I understand it comes down to insurance. I get that, but I don't like that. That's why I choose to only work with integrative and holistic practitioners, is because we deserve to have control over our health needs and our health journey. So there's multiple reasons why I came to this conclusion that there's so much disappointment in the Western medicine side of things. First thing I want to say on that is it's a complete joke that they tell you that you have to be trying for one full year before you can be seen for fertility support. That's just silly. Like, seriously, how is that benefiting us? Again, I understand it probably comes down to insurance running our world, but that is ridiculous. Such a joke. Not that I would recommend lying, but I'm glad that Mitch and I lied and said that we had been trying for a year. Because otherwise, I mean, I didn't anticipate it taking this long, but that would have added a whole nother year onto our journey. Another reason it was such a disappointment in the long run working with Western medicine is because the meds that they offer often come with, unfortunately, some uncomfortable side effects. No, thank you. I can tell you multiple times in my life where medication has had negative side effects. Luckily for me, that was not the case with the meds I was put on initially when starting our journey. I did not have any negative side effects that I noticed anyways, but I have heard from multiple friends who were on similar meds that literally felt like they were not themselves as a result of those meds. Literally, like, more emotional, more hormonal. That's just not okay. And it shouldn't have to be that way. You shouldn't feel like you are a changed person because of meds you're taking because you're trying to get pregnant. To me, that is just ridiculous. And then another frustration with the Western medicine world is I don't understand. I mean, I do, but I don't. I get it with insurance. I feel like I sound like a broken record saying that. I get it. They truly do rule our world, and I don't like that. But I don't understand why the Western medicine OB that I worked with could not check more hormones and do more lab work than they currently do. If they had checked early on my progesterone, my egg count, things like that, that would have been such a game changer, I feel like, for me. And I feel it's ridiculous that we don't check more early on. It's one thing that you have to wait a year, but then when you do wait a year and they do this blood work, it's like the bare minimum of blood work, I feel like. And like I said, I know it comes down to what insurance is willing to cover. But you guys, I've been paying out of pocket for my fertility care services since year 3 of this journey. And I'm okay with that. You just budget for it. That's what it comes down to. Like, I literally am so glad I now have control over my journey now that I'm working with an integrative practitioner. Another huge, huge lesson. Years 2 through 4 for me were truly all about hope. So many people, as we were going through our journey, would share their stories with me about how they found out they were pregnant, or how timing was everything for them, or like starting adoption and then finding out they were pregnant. And some people, I understand some women get offended by these stories or it rubs them wrong, but that wasn't my experience. These stories truly gave me so much hope in my journey, and I needed that hope. Like, if it can happen for other people, then that means it can happen for me. That was another reason I was such an open book to people, because typically somebody would ask, oh, are you guys going to start a family? And I would say, oh, actually, we've been going through the fertility journey for X amount of years. Sometimes that would prompt them to then share a story about their fertility journey or somebody they know who went through a similar journey. And I just love that. I love that sense of community and hearing from other people. It's so helpful. It gave me hope. And when you're going through the fertility journey, you cannot get enough hope, truly. And I will be honest, I refused through this whole journey. I refused to be seen as a victim. And that's hard. Trust me, I get it. I mean, if you listened to episode 7, you know there were moments in time where I definitely felt like a victim. But I just didn't let myself stay there for too long. Again, I know that's hard. Trust me, I know that. But I was constantly telling myself, this is not happening to me. It is happening for my greater good. I am not a victim to my circumstances. These things are happening to grow me, to mold me into a better version of myself for my greater good. Ultimately, God has a plan far greater than any plans that we can develop in our own head, which to some, I know that's hard to imagine, but it's true. And I am a firm believer of that. Truly, divine timing is everything. It's a real thing. I have seen that time and time again in my life. Divine timing is everything. And I'm going to get that's a whole nother lesson that I'll get into. But again, our plans do not even come close to the plans that God, Source, Universe have for us. And so that hope, that was such a big lesson for those 2 years for me. It was a real game changer. Then in years 5 and now going into year 6, the theme kind of switched from hope into now surrender. Surrender will be its own podcast episode at some point in time, because I could talk about surrendering till I'm blue in the face. I got a lot to say about that topic. But I mentioned earlier that I really got into the woo-woo and the spiritual stuff. I don't even like calling it the woo-woo. It's the spiritual stuff, but some people who aren't into it call it the woo-woo. But that stuff works, let me tell you. I got really big into that, partly because of the fertility journey, but also partly because of COVID and all of the growth that had happened for me during that time. So what I have continued to tell myself going into year 5 and then still currently as I'm now in year 6 of the journey is true surrender means having complete and unwavering faith that what is on your heart, what is going to come to you, will come to you, but it involves letting go of the how of it all and truly, truly just trusting God, the universe, Source, that it's coming. So again, it's having that unwavering faith, that complete and unwavering faith. That's a big part of surrendering. But my whole goal in these last 2 years was I want to embody a woman who has completely surrendered to this journey and just truly trusts that it's on its way to me, whether that be motherhood, pregnancy, a healthy child, whatever it may be, it's coming to me. It's coming. And I know it is, but that's what surrendering is. And I want, like, literally somebody from the outside looking in, I want them to see me as the woman who has truly surrendered to this journey. Another reason that I decided to truly embrace surrendering is because literally in all the stories that we were told when we had finally decided to start the adoption process was literally everybody and their grandma was like, oh, insert name here, got pregnant right when they found out they were adopting a child, or right after they had adopted a child, or right when they started the adoption process. Okay, do you know why that happens? Because of surrender. You literally mentally and emotionally release yourself from that desire as soon as you accept whatever is coming your way in whatever form that may be. That is why people get pregnant when they adopt a child, typically, or not all the time, but you hear about it a lot. It seems so common. It's so wild. And it's not that wild. It just goes to show that it's all in our head. So I always tell people the fertility journey is not just science. It's also a mental journey. It involves you mentally cutting the cord with control. That's also what surrender is. Cut the cord with control. You don't have control. If you thought you did, joke's on you. You don't. So that's what I want to embody, as somebody who has completely surrendered to this journey and has just completely let go of control and has that complete unwavering faith. Big lesson. That was a huge lesson. I feel like it took me a good year just to truly feel I am practicing that. So that's where I'm at now. Another big lesson is just the gratitude for our support system. When you're going through something hard, you really have your eyes open to just how lucky you are to have the support you have in your life. I definitely experienced that when I broke my neck. Sidebar, if you haven't listened to the two episodes on how I broke my neck, highly recommend it. I believe it's episode 4 and 5, something like that. There's a part 1 and part 2. Anyways, definitely go back and listen to that if you have not. I got great feedback from those episodes, so I definitely don't think you will regret listening to them. So the support system for me, as Mitch and I were going through the fertility journey, has just helped tremendously. I mean, I was an open book right from the start with this journey. I told myself, well, so many women tend to keep this to themselves as they're going through this journey. And I just, again, that really didn't sit well with me. And I'm an open person anyways. Mitch would argue sometimes too open. But I just know that whether the journey is easy or hard, I don't want to go through it alone, which is partly why I'm such an open book. And I'm glad I was, because that helped me have even more support. Whenever I would share the story with somebody, I would hear other stories from them or be connected to other individuals going through a similar journey. And that was so helpful. So if you're a woman going through the fertility journey, if you want one piece of advice, open up about it. Be vulnerable. I highly recommend it. I understand not everybody is comfortable being vulnerable, but in my experience, that has tremendously helped me. And I think it will help others too. Mitch and I are so lucky because we have such amazing friends and family, and they have all been just super, super supportive through this entire 6 years. I mean, we truly count our blessings for our friends and family on the daily because they're just all so amazing. I will admit that the fertility journey has become such a big part of my life, which is also another reason why I'm not afraid to talk about it, because it's a big part of who I am today. Like I said earlier, this podcast wouldn't be here if it weren't for this journey. This journey really catapulted my passion for health and wellness and wanting to spread more on that topic. So I think that's a big reason why I'm so honest about everything I'm going through. I will also share that because it's become such a big part of my life and I'm so honest with what I've gone through, it's been really interesting actually to see how certain people react to my honesty, because not everybody is here for it. And I understand that, but a lot of that stems from your own personal insecurities, if we're being completely honest. But it's just interesting to see how some people react, especially those that aren't ready for the honesty. I just think it comes down to where people are at in their healing and growth journeys. I also think, like I said before, if it makes you uncomfortable, maybe consider like digging deep and asking yourself, why does it make me uncomfortable when people are honest with me about whatever the journey is, whatever the story is? That might be some good personal processing to do if it does bother you when people are honest with you about certain topics. So support system, huge, huge lesson that came out of this whole journey. So, so grateful for everybody that has shared, that has been vulnerable alongside me, that listens, even though they might not know what to say, that asks me how we're doing, that are comfortable asking me about our journey. Love that. Seriously, love that. Another big lesson that came out of all of this is the lesson of divine timing. I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but you guys, there have been so many instances in my life where I have been reminded that things do not happen in our time. They happen in God's time. That's sometimes a really hard lesson to learn. I also at one point in time heard from, I think, another podcaster that if you experience the same lesson multiple times in your life, it could be because you haven't learned what you needed to from that lesson. Wow, did that hit me like a ton of bricks. I've gone through the lesson of waiting a shit ton in my life. Wonder why I still haven't gotten, like, what lesson have I not gotten from that? Which is a big reason why I took it upon myself to truly embrace surrendering, because I think that's a big part of waiting. Letting go of control is what it comes down to. But yeah, so many times in my life have I learned that things don't happen in my time. They happen in divine timing. So again, like one example of this, meeting my now husband, Mitch. That definitely was divine timing. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. Starting my business, another example of divine timing. That happened exactly when it needed to in my life. Another example, when I broke my neck, the healing journey of breaking my neck, coming through that whole situation, all came down to divine timing. Even a lot of the synchronicities within that story came down to divine timing. So I am a firm believer, things happen in God's time, universe's time, source's time, not our own. Truly, my faith in God and the universe has been strengthened, knowing that I'm not in control of the timing. So planning things out used to be a big part of who I am, but now I kind of feel like it's such a waste of time. Because in my experience, things typically haven't gone according to plan. I will say now, for the most part, I'm still only human, you guys, but now for the most part, I have learned to be okay with that. But it has not always been that way. If you listened to part one earlier this week, you will know that. But learning to let go of that control has been a huge part of this journey. I'm not perfect at it. Like I said before, I'm still only human, but I'm learning. I'm getting better at it. I truly am. Another lesson is labels. So whether it be with mental health, physical health, you name it, when you're diagnosed with something, typically there is a label put on you, right? The label in my journey has been infertility. So I'm just setting the record straight here. I am not infertile, okay? That label is not an accurate label for me. I would say just in the last like year and a half, I've gotten really big into this, that the labels we put on ourselves, especially like women going through this journey, the label of infertility is not a good label to put on ourselves. And it's not us putting it on ourselves always. Sometimes it is, but typically it's practitioners, especially in the Western medicine world, unfortunately. But again, I'm not infertile. So first of all, I just want to point out the reason I emphasize that so much is because if you look at my lab work, it proves that I'm not infertile. Infertile means I have no eggs. That is not true. Low egg count, yes, but they're not depleted. They're just low. So that label or title does not describe me. I literally, in the last year, I have gone into every appointment with every practitioner that I've worked with, and I make sure every new practitioner knows that I do not want to hear that word in my appointment. You will not be describing me as infertile. You want to put it on my lab work? That's fine. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to know that you're putting it down. It does not describe me. That is not accurate. I definitely want to spend a future episode on this, but as a therapist, I will just tell you that labeling someone with a diagnosis of any kind can actually be very impactful in more ways than one. Like, and this is something that I'm continuing to learn about professionally, but we take on labels and we internalize them. We literally make them a part of our identity. And this does not typically serve us well. So for example, I specialize in anxiety and depression with clients that I work with. I no longer will tell clients what I'm putting down for a diagnosis for them because I don't feel it serves them well. Like, I don't want somebody leaving my office telling themselves or identifying as so-and-so equals an anxious person. I am an anxious woman. That doesn't serve you well, because literally telling your brain that, your brain doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. So telling your brain that, your brain and thoughts will then start to look for evidence that proves that label to be true. So in the world of fertility, that is a reason why that label is not serving us well. as women going through the fertility journey, because that then becomes your identity. It is so unhealthy to walk around telling yourself, I'm an infertile woman. You're probably not. Unless your labs truly show that, you're probably not. And I can give you so many other examples of how labels are not serving us well in our health and wellness journey, but that's the main one I wanted to share. Ironically, a new practitioner that I just started working with, her name is Dr. Leslie Kramer. I actually see her at prenatal postnatal therapy, and I'll put her website in the show notes because I highly recommend her. I've only seen her once for my like initial appointment, but holy shit, that was such an impactful appointment. So many like interesting aha moments came out of that appointment and some pretty cool synchronicities following it as well. So highly recommend her. In my initial appointment with her, she actually used the term, and I really like it, and I've started using it myself, but I told her, like I have every practitioner, that I don't like being told that I'm infertile or that I'm going through the infertility journey, because I'm not. I'm going through the fertility journey because I'm fertile. She told me to use the term conception journey. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. So I kind of use both sometimes, but conception journey is just like music to my ears. I love that. Remember that. The labels that we use for ourselves end up defining us, whether we want it to or not. So be careful what labels you're using to describe yourself. Okay, moving on. Another lesson was I truly have no regrets in this journey. And I don't know if early on I could have said that, but I will say I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I hadn't gone through this fertility journey. And though I would gladly take kids, I would have gladly taken kids in those first couple of years of trying, I know that without a doubt, I would not be where I'm at professionally with my business or personally growth-wise if I hadn't gone through this journey. Wow. Like admitting that sometimes just gives me goosebumps, because I don't know if early on I could have admitted something like that. But it's also interesting because people and practitioners that I've met through this journey have truly changed my whole perspective on whole body health. And again, that would not have happened if I hadn't gone through the now 6 years of our fertility journey. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the paths that I've crossed with other women going through similar journeys. So grateful for practitioners that have been a part of my fertility journey, because I feel like they're cheering me on the sidelines. And we need that when we're going through this journey. I honestly don't think I will ever go back to Western medicine as far as like my primary care goes, because I just feel there's way too many gaps in that system. And I, now that I know what it feels like to have control of my health journey, I just don't want to go back to that. So none of that, none of those come to Jesus moments would have happened for me had we not gone through these 6 years. And I don't regret any of it. Like I said, do I wish I had kids early on? Yes. I still have that deep, deep desire for kids and a family and experiencing pregnancy. Yes. And I truly feel that had I not had any of that happen, I wouldn't be the same person I am today. I am not the same person I was 6 years ago, not even close. That girl 6 years ago wouldn't even recognize me today. But part of what's beautiful about all this is now having my business, and even though it's still only in like the beginning stages, I mean, I'm still only in year one of it. It's pretty cool to know that my business wouldn't be here if we had gotten pregnant early on. That just gives me goosebumps. What an amazing thing. Okay, only a couple left, I swear. Another big lesson that I took from this whole journey is the lesson of contentment. Like I said before, part of learning how to surrender meant letting go of control, and part of letting go of control meant being content with my current circumstances. It means you're not constantly wanting what's next, what that next chapter is. You know, that's so many young women. You graduate from high school and the next thing you want is to be in college. You're in college, next thing you want is to be graduated and a young adult in the working world. And then you're a young adult in the working world, the next thing you want is to be in a long-term relationship, then you are in one, and then you want to be in that next chapter. You want to be engaged, and then you're engaged, and you want to be married. I could go on and on. Then you're married, you want to have a kid. Like, literally, it just goes on and on and on. But when are we ever just happy in the chapter we're in? A lot of people, I feel, don't do this. There is so much power in just truly being content in the current chapter of your life that you are in, and not constantly wanting what's next. Finding true joy and happiness with your current circumstances is such a powerful practice. And I can truly say now that I am content with my life. Do I want kids? Do I yearn for kids? Yes, hell yes. But at the same time, I'm okay with the fact that we don't have them right now, like right this minute. It doesn't change that desire. I still have that desire there, but I'm also content. I am. I love the life Mitch and I have together. I love where I'm at in my business. Things would look and feel very different if kids had been in the picture early on. My business is still building. If I had kids, I don't know if I'd be able to devote the amount of time that is needed to devote to my business. Same with like finances. I don't know if finances would be where they're at now if I had kids in the picture. And with being still in that like year one of building my business, I'm still learning the ins and outs of being an entrepreneur or being a therapist or being a CEO or you know, whatever title I decide to give myself right now. I don't know if I'd be able to devote time to those titles if kids had come sooner. And truly, truly, I am content with Mitch and I's little family. And family's family. It doesn't matter how small or big they are. Family's family. And our little family, Mitch and I and Luna, I'm content with that right now. I'm also content with where I'm at professionally, though I am excited to grow. But I'm trying to just be content with where my business is at right now, too. Just like I'm trying to be content in where our personal life is at. I'm also content with our home. I'm content with our finances. Am I excited for what's to come? Yes, but I'm not like sitting here hyper-focusing on what should be coming next. I am truly trying to embrace my current chapter of life while also remaining hopeful for what's to come. So contentment is a huge lesson. All right, final lesson that I got out of the fertility journey, or final lesson that I could think of in the moment. Appreciation. I think there is truly a special population of women who appreciate pregnancy on a completely different level than others because they know what it was like to fight to get there. They know what it was like to fight to make that pregnancy happen. And I believe I will be one of them. When you know what it's like to live without something but want it on such a deep level, and then when it finally does come to you, I truly believe that you appreciate it more than most. This was actually a lesson that a good friend had shared with me early on in our journey, like years one or two. And it's really stuck with me ever since. And she also went through her journey. And so she's one to talk. But you hold gratitude for the experience of pregnancy or for that child, maybe more than some or more than most. I don't know. So I know that when it comes to pregnancy, regardless of what the experience will be for me and for my body, I'm going to have a really deep appreciation for that because it truly is a miracle that our bodies can do this, first of all. And second of all, because of the waiting to get there, I am just going to have far more appreciation for it than I would have otherwise. You know, I had a very similar lesson that I learned after I broke my neck with appreciation. I don't think I even mentioned this, but in that episode, but I appreciate movement and exercise more now than I ever did prior to that accident. Because I actually know how easily I almost lost all of that. I know how easily that could have been all taken from me. So I don't take working out or movement for granted because I almost lost the ability to do those things. So I truly am grateful to be able to move my body and exercise on the daily and strengthen my body because I almost didn't have that ability. So you do, you appreciate things differently when you come close to losing it or when you do live without it in the case of like pregnancy and fertility. I think it's the women that feel that way. I think it's a special population of women. So I'm excited to be one of them. That's been another big lesson for sure. All right. So many great lessons that came out of this journey. I truly just hope that, I know, I feel like I say this at the end of every episode, but I hope that there's just a small nugget of information that helped you in today's episode or in this week's episode, since there was two. But if anything that I said really resonated with you, please, please, please share it with a friend, share it on social media, rate or review me on whatever app you listen to me on. And then along the lines of that, if you ever have any questions about anything that I talked about, guys, I'm an open book. So you can DM me, you can call me, you can text me, whatever you want to do. Truly, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to learn from others' journeys. I'm happy to hear advice from others. I'm happy to hear if you had a similar experience or not. I think we should all be talking about this more than we currently do. So if there's a little bug in your ear telling you to reach out, do it. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to hear from you. And if you do, there's a high chance I will share it in an upcoming episode. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here. I appreciate all of you, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to us. It means so much to me. If there were any aha moments or anything that really resonated with you on today's episode, then please take a minute and share it on your social media and tag me so I can personally thank you. Also, if you could, please rate and review the podcast as it is new, and that really helps to get the word out there more and reach even more listeners. I'll catch you on the next episode.